The opening scripture comes from Numbers 14:24. Now you're going to learn about who the story in my sermon is about. But my servant Caleb, because he has a different spirit within him, has followed me fully. I will bring him into the land where he went, and his descendants shall inherit it. Those are the words that I want God to say about me. And I hope God says that about all of us. Before I start the sermon, I had one disclaimer to make about my sermon. After Susan exposed me, now I have two disclaimers. Susan, about 7 years ago, came into my office not feeling good. She collapsed on the waiting room floor. I went out there and she was pulseless and breathless. Most people's book, that's called dead. I thought, oh my, we got to do something. And I thought, if we need to start CPR, let's make it effective. So I hit her hard with that. And I think I thrust so hard that for some reason, her heart started. And I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that God worked a miracle. It wasn't me. And the disclaimer, it was God that worked a miracle and brought her back for a reason. And thank you for coming. My second disclaimer is about my sermon. And I know there's diseases, aging, things that happen, such as accidents, dementia, and other things that affect people's lives and their aging process. And this isn't to disrespect any of that. So I just want to let you know. My title of the sermon is How to Age and Grow Old in Christ. I was talking to a person in between Sabbath school and church, and I was regretting that I didn't ask my parents more about aging, because as a young man, I wish I could have learned more, and it would have been nice. Anyway, we're given a good example of how to age in Christ. There's a story about a king who, in a rage of wrath, sentenced a subject who was a faithful servant to death. But in a moment of reconciliation, he summoned his faithful servant in and he said, "In considering of your faithful service to me, I have decided to let you choose the method by which you will die." The servant said, "If it's all right with you, your honor, I would like to die of old age." How many were scared that he was going to get his arms pulled off or some other funny thing? Who could blame him? Most of us would like to die of old age, if we can, and even choose to bypass death by the Lord's coming. How many would like to bypass death by the Lord's coming? That's the ultimate, wouldn't it? Unfortunately, the process of getting from where we are to old age and the point of dying may not be very much fun. The older we get, the less fun it gets. Those that are growing older seem to be struggling with the aging process, including me. And those that are younger don't seem to know how to handle the problem either. It seems like growing older is something we don't talk about and don't know what to do with either. It is interesting that there's a greater number of people growing older. There are more people today in the United States. There are more older people today in the United States than there has ever been before. There are more people in the age of 65 and older than this country has ever known. I was surprised to learn that there are over 12,000 people in the 100 and older age group. The science of geriatrics is one of the fastest growing departments in medicine. Everybody is interested in the process of growing older, but mostly because they would like to stop it. The interesting thing is that those of us who are Christians ought to know more about aging than we do. However, we find that we are not immune to the sting of aloneness. When we lose our spouses, and even as Christians, we find it difficult to know how to deal with the feeling of unimportance when it comes to fitting into society as we age. Instead of maximizing experience and positive examples, Christians often seem to grow bitter and feel they have been passed over and their work for the Lord is done. I find myself saying, Luke, I don't want that to happen to me. I don't want to grow old like that. You see, the fact is, we don't talk about it much, and we have not been taught about it much. However, I discovered one thing, that the Bible is a much better place to look for answers and examples than in the world. So, if you are looking for a better way to age, I have an example I want to share with you. Can you guess his name? Caleb. You can read about him in the book of Numbers and in Joshua. He is a man by the name of Caleb. He comes from the tribe of Judah. The Bible says he is the son of Jephunneh, and he appears first in the book of Numbers. He was Judah's representative in the Kadesh Barnea Caper. Do you know what the Kadesh Barnea Caper is? That was when the 12 spies were sent to check out the promised land, and it happened at Kadesh Barnea. So there was a big spy organization there at Kadesh Barnea. And he and Joshua were the two minority reporters who came back with the reply that it was possible to take the land even though it was filled with giants. The good news is that he and Joshua were the only two adults that were finally allowed to enter and see the promised land. The bad news is he almost got stoned for his report. Caleb was a man of vision and faith. As we see his life now, he is 85 years, that is 85 years old. So here he is, 85, and still growing as he prepares for the greatest moment that is yet ahead of him. He illustrates to me two very important lessons that I hope that I would never forget, and I hope that I can etch on your minds so that you won't forget them either. Number one is this. You can achieve life's greatest accomplishments at an old age. You can have your greatest moment at an age that most people consider to be on the downside. Lesson number two. You never, never, never retire in the Lord's service. Now, the reason that Caleb was able to implement those two lessons in his life was because there were three things about him that were the secrets of his existence. Secrets that caused him at the age of 85 to be what he was. I want to share those secrets with you today as we think about growing older. How do we grow old gracefully? First thing is that Caleb kept growing physically in terms of his physical power and strength. Turn in Joshua 14, verses 10 to 11. And this is the statement of Caleb. And now, behold, the Lord hath kept me alive these 45 years, even since the Lord spoke this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. As yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day when Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now, for war, both to go out and to come in. He is saying in that verse, He is as strong at the age of 85 as he was when he was 40 years of age. He must have took care of his body. It reminds me of a statement we have concerning Moses in Deuteronomy 34, verse 7, where we read that his eye was not dimmed or his natural forces abated, and Moses was 120 years old when that was written about him. I bring out these thoughts from Caleb because we have a tendency to downplay the importance of the outer man as Christians. We are so spiritually minded that we forget that whatever we do spiritually, we have to do in our bodies. I saw a sign in a doctor's office that said, "When you wear out this body, then where are you going to live?" That is an important thought because everything that you and I do spiritually, we do in the body. You can't do anything spiritually out there in limbo, just floating around in space. God has to use us in our bodies. Therefore, if you're going to be useful to God for all these years that are before us, then we need to come to grips with what it means to grow old and keep growing in the proper way physically. Don't forget your body is the temple of God. The way we often deal with this in our world is to make fun of it. Did you notice all the jokes about growing older are about the physical side of it? Have you read about the signs of how you can tell you are growing old? They are so delightful. You know you're growing old when everything hurts and what doesn't hurt doesn't work. You know you're growing old when the gleam in your eye is the sun hitting your bifocals. You know you are growing old when you get winded playing chess. You know you're growing old when your back goes out more than you do. You know you're growing old when you sink your teeth into a pie and they stay there. You know you're growing old when the little gray-haired lady that you happen to be helping across the street is your wife. You know you're growing old when your pacemaker makes the garage door go up. Someone has explained it this way. Since I have retired from life's competition, each day is filled with complete repetition. I get up in the morning and dust off my wits and go pick up the paper and read the obits. If my name is not there, I know I'm not dead. So I get a good breakfast and go back to bed. The reason I know that my youth is all spent is my get up and go has gone up and went. Barb used that last one several times this week. Her got up and go has got up and went. It seems the way we deal with growing older is that we poke fun at it, and that is all right, but that is not the way I believe we should deal with it. The Bible says that somehow Caleb kept growing physically so that somehow at the age of 85 he could do what he did at the age of 40. And that inspires me because I plan to live for a long time and I would like to do when I am 85 what I could do when I was 40 in terms of serving God. Did you notice that I qualified that? In terms of serving God. There is an interesting and intriguing relationship in Caleb at the age of 40 and at the age of 85, and that is that he made some decisions when he was 40 that affected his effectiveness when he was 85. Anybody know what his diet was? God's diet, manna from heaven, all those years. That's interesting to me because when I study his life, I am aware of the fact that Caleb had every reason in the world to give up at 40. And I would like to make note that this seems to be about the age when most of us have a tendency to give up on our bodies, to just give up on our ability physically to do the things that we ought to do at that age. Caleb had every reason to be discouraged at age 40 to just give up and throw in the towel. I'd like to remind you of a couple of these reasons. First of all, during that time, in his midlife, Caleb was up for a promotion. The senior officer in the company was about to die, and when he died, there were two men, and for some reason, Joshua was chosen over Caleb. I don't know why he was, but he was. And when the news came down from the front office that Caleb was not going to be promoted to the top spot, had he been like many others I know and realized that there was no more opportunities for him, he could have gotten very discouraged and said, "What's the use?" and given up on life, but he did not. The second thing I would like to suggest to you is that when Caleb was at the peak of his career, at the peak of his ministry, at the peak of his life, at the age of 40, do you know where he was? God put him off on the backside of a desert where he was to spend the next 45 years of his life waiting for the rebellious Jewish generation to die off so that God could ultimately take them into the promised land. There was absolutely no realistic positive goal to motivate Caleb. He was in a waiting game. All his life was wrapped up in just waiting for God's judgment to be carried out on the rebellious Israelites who refused to believe God. His powers were at their peak when he was in the desert. Some have said that the hardest part of the journey is the middle mile. There's enthusiasm at the beginning that buoys up at the start. The thrill of reaching the goal is there at the finish, but the middle mile is where you are a long way from the start and also distant from the goal. It is that which tests the mettle of the runner. In the middle mile of life's pilgrimage, the believer needs the grace of patience when the soul can sustain unusual strength for great sorrows, extra power for mighty deeds, better than he can muster for the commonplace. The danger of fierce battle is preferred to the humdrum of the trenches. There are days when we fly and days when we run, but most of the days we usually walk. And those are the hardest, and at that time in Caleb's life, when he made some long-lasting decisions so that when the time came and God was ready to use him for the greatest moment in his life, he was prepared. Because of that, he challenges my life. Caleb kept growing physically. He could have quit, but he kept himself ready. There is more recent type of Caleb that I read about by the name of John Wesley. Do you know that John Wesley, at 85 years of age, said that he was not weary in travel, he was not weary in preaching. And this was before modern transportation. Altogether, it's estimated he traveled 250,000 miles by horseback. He preached 40,000 sermons. He wrote 400 books. And he learned and spoke 11 languages fluently. He was gifted, wasn't he? When he talked about his youthful activity at the age of 85, he said there were four things that kept him going. Number one, exercise and a change of air. That means he was still breathing. Number two, having never lost a night of sleep on land or sea. Number three, getting up at 4 a.m. each morning. And number four, preaching for 50 years at 5 a.m. every morning of the week. That is what kept him young. When he was 86, John Wesley was annoyed that he couldn't write more than 15 hours a day. And when he was 87, he was ashamed that he could not preach more than twice a day. And he confessed that there was a growing urge to lay in bed past 5:30 in the morning at age 87. I think I should be ashamed myself at age 64. Well, men and women, I just want to remind you that our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. I haven't found one shred of evidence in the Bible that says we should stop caring for them after we reach a certain age. Caleb was a man that God was able to use at 85 years because he kept growing physically. So I'd like to say to you, if you can't run, walk. If you can't walk, shuffle. But do something to take care of your body. You are never too old to improve your health. I have a little saying in my office. I tell patients that if you want to take out an insurance policy to stay out of a nursing home, walking daily is your best policy. The second thing I would like to suggest to you is that Caleb grew old gracefully because he kept growing mentally. Turn to Joshua 14:12. Here is Caleb. He is 85 years of age, and he says, "Now therefore give me this mountain of which the Lord spoke in that day, for thou hearest in that day how the Anakims, how the giants were there, and the cities were great and fenced. And so if the Lord be with me, then I'll drive them out as the Lord said." 85 years of age, and he wants the biggest challenge there is to have. Let me remind you of a couple things. Number one, all of the older men who were assigned to claim the land of Palestine were younger men. How do you know that? Well, there were only two guys that came out of the desert experience because God made all of his colleagues who refused to believe God at Kadesh Barnea die off. And so the only two that came out of that were Joshua and Caleb. So I can promise you that of all the men that were challenged to go in and settle the land of Palestine, Caleb was the oldest. And here's the oldest guy on the team, and he wants the biggest job. He wants the mountain, and it's not just an ordinary mountain. It's a mountain where the giants and the Anakims are. And those are the fellows that frightened off the people in the beginning and caused them to believe you could not settle the land. Now Caleb says, "Hey, I'll take that one. Just give me the mountain." He was the oldest man, and he asked for the toughest assignment. Why? Because he still had a lot of challenge in his life. He had kept growing mentally. He had a dream. He had a goal, and he wanted to be involved right up to the end. Let's go to Joshua 13:1 to understand the significance of this. There we are told that the lands at the end of Joshua's life were unconquered. And notice this, "Now Joshua was old and stricken in years, and there remains very much land to be possessed." They had not got the job done. All of these younger men who were supposed to be possessing the land had not gotten the job done. In fact, I can give you the report card, Joshua 13:13. "Nevertheless, the children of Israel expelled not the Jezreelites nor the Maturaites, but the Jezreelites and the Maturaites dwell among the Israelites unto this day." What they were supposed to do was to go into the land and drive out the inhabitants and settle the land. Notice Joshua 15:63. "As for the Jebusites, the inhabitants of Jerusalem, the children of Judea could not drive them out, but the Jebusites dwell with the children of Judea at Jerusalem unto this day." They had failed in driving out the Jebusites. They didn't get the job done either. Notice Joshua 16:10, "And they drove not out the Canaanites that dwell in Gezer, but the Canaanites dwell among the Ephraimites unto this day and serve under tribute." Notice again, Joshua 17:12, "Yet the children of Manasseh could not drive out the inhabitants of those cities, but the Canaanites would dwell in that land." Also in Joshua 17:16-18, the children of Joseph did not get the job done either. It was clear they didn't get it done. They never finished the job. And here are all these young guys with assignments to go in and drive out the inhabitants. And the only record we have is of their failure. They didn't get it done. Let me give you Caleb's report card. Joshua 15:14-15. I love it. And Caleb drove thence the three sons of Anak, Sheshai, Araman, Talamai, the children of Anak. And he went up thence to the inhabitants of Debar, and the name of Debar before was Kirjath-Separ. You see, Caleb now, he got the giants out of his way, and he is going to make a game out of the rest of it. Now, I wouldn't suggest this game, but this is what he did. Notice, and Caleb said, "He that smiteth Kirjath-Separ and taketh it, to him I will give Ashia, my daughter, to wife." So he said, "Look, I have taken care of the giants. I have gotten them out, and whoever goes up and gets this other guy gets my daughter." This is the way they did things back then. We don't do it that way now. But he had his troops so motivated that they conquered everything that was in their domain to conquer. At the age of 85, he had all those challenges, and he got everything done that he set out to do. He continued to be what he had been at Kadesh Barnea. He was a positive thinker. All the rest of them said, "You can't do it." Caleb said, "Hey, with God, you can do it." He had not changed one bit. He was a brave man among cowards. He was a tough-minded man among weak-minded men. And it is just a reminder to all of us that it is our attitude of heart, not our activity, that determines whether we are young or old. If you are old at 40 if you stop growing, if you stopped accepting challenges. I would like to stop for a moment and remind you that our society conditions us against such a lifestyle. I don't know if you have noticed that or not, but our society tells us that we can't keep dreaming after a certain year. When you grow too old to dream, you are too old. For dreams and visions are the stuff of life, so pick a dream and make it happen. You know, we have gotten the idea somewhere along the way that a life of safety is what we ultimately look forward to, a life of being secure. But a life of safety is no life at all. We are programmed from an early age to start saving for a safe and secure future. We have pension funds, retirement benefits. We work for removing all the risk of our lives by the time we are 65 years of age when we retire. Yet in the societies that sociologists have studied, where people normally live to be 100 and frequently to 120, there's no special treatment for the aged, none at all. There are no retirement homes where people can spend their retirement years playing shuffleboard. Scientists have studied these societies and found nothing in common in the term of climate, diet, geography, or lifestyle, but in all three of these places, the inhabitants are expected to live with no cushion of safety. They continue to work 10 fields, keep shop until they die at 100 plus. Let me give you the third one, and this is by far the most critical, and that is he not only kept growing physically, and mentally, but he kept growing spiritually. And when he was 40 years of age, God gave a report about Caleb that is overwhelming. I want you to see it in your Bibles, so turn to Numbers 14:24. But my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him and had followed me fully, him will I bring into the land where into he went, and his seed will possess it. God's word says that when Caleb was 40, he followed the Lord fully. Now at age 85, we are in Joshua 14:8. So turn to Joshua 14:8. God speaks of Caleb when he was 40. Now at 85, Caleb speaks of his own spiritual strength, and he says, "Nevertheless, my brethren, that went up with me and made the heart of the people melt with fear, but I wholly followed the Lord." So we have God's statement, and now we have Caleb's statement. But notice the next verse, Joshua 14:9, we have Moses' statement. And Moses swore on that day, saying, "Surely the land whereupon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance, and thine children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God." The thing that kept Caleb going is not that he just cared about himself physically and that he kept alive mentally, but Caleb was a man who was deeply committed to God. He was not a partial follower of God, he was a wholehearted follower of God. And I'm going to say something that could certainly be misunderstood, because I do not begrudge older people the right of relaxation. I do it myself. Travel and vacation and all of that. But let me tell you what I see among many Christian people: the determination that they wholly followed God up to the retirement age. And now they earn the right to take it easy until they die. You know what? I can't find that in the Bible. That doesn't mean that you don't have the right to back off and enjoy one another and to see some of the sights. But you know that a growing number of Christian people that have gotten the idea that they paid their price and they have done theirs, and now it's time for the younger generation to do the job. I would hate to meet Caleb with that in my mind when I get to heaven. Because you see, when you stop serving God, you stop growing spiritually. When you stop being involved in what God has for you to do, you lose some of the edge that of your own spiritual life. I don't know any Christian people that can sit back and relax and be everything that God wants them to be. Involvement in serving God is very much a part of your own growth, and it doesn't have to stop no matter how old you are. We have reviewed the life of Caleb, and we sense something very different is happening with him. He is 85 and growing, and he remembered God's promises to him that are recorded in the scripture, and he lived his life in response to them. Someone described how it works in these words: "You tell me I am getting old. I tell you that is not so. Oh, the house I live in is worn out. That, of course, I know. It has been in use a long, long while. It's weathered many a gale. I'm not surprised that you think I am getting somewhat frail. The color is changing on the roof. The windows are getting dim. The walls are just a bit transparent and look rather thin. The foundation's not so steady as it once used to be. Yes, I know the house is getting shaky, but the house isn't me. A few short years can't make me old. I feel I'm in my youth. Eternity lies just ahead a life of joy and truth. I'm going to live forever there. Life will go on. It's grand. You tell me I'm getting old. You just don't understand. The dweller in my little house is young and bright and gay, just starting on a life to last for eternity someday. You only see the outside. That is what most folks see. You tell me I'm growing old because you have mixed my house up with me. So in summary, let's review. Number one, Caleb kept himself fit physically, mentally, as well as spiritually. He was in as good shape at 85 as he was at 40. That should be a challenge to us. Just because the candles on your birthday cake are increasing doesn't mean that you should stop trying to remain your best. Number two, Caleb was up for a challenge and didn't say no when God gave him a new opportunity. He waited patiently for God's direction. Number three, there is no permanent retirement when you work for the Lord. Never, never, never retire in the Lord's service. Your greatest accomplishments may still be in your future. Trust God and you can rest assured He will help you conquer the mountains and giants in your life. Let's bow our heads. Dear God, thank you for the story of Caleb and the encouragement we see through his life and the life of others in the recent past, that we can learn from their life, how to remain active in your service. Then that is my wish today and for my entire life. In thy holy name, amen.